As I get ready to read the gospel, I want to point out this candle, which is lit here, the Christ candle, which is lit on Easter and during the Easter season at the time of baptisms and at the time of death, services of death and resurrection. This morning, we had a baptism, three baptisms at the 9 o'clock service, Giada, Taylor, and her parents, Tara and Joe. And so we have in our midst the water, which reminds us all of our own baptisms this morning. Our gospel reading is from Matthew, reading from chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Our daughter, Anna, decided to hike the Appalachian Trail after she graduated from college. This 2,200-mile trail goes from Maine to Georgia, or if you start at the end, goes from Georgia to Maine. It's still 2,200 miles long. And it is an adventure for everyone who hikes it. We never imagined that Anna, our little girl who loved to dress up in pink, would ever do something like this, spending months in the wild and days without a shower. Yet, her life was shaped in ways that neither she nor we could have expected. The goal of through hikers, that is those who start at the beginning and go to the end, is to get to the final destination, one step at a time, as life happens to them along the way. There are strangers that you meet along the trail who become hiking friends and who would do anything for you. And there are trail angels who live near the trail who leave snacks and drinks and will pick you up and take you into town just because they care. There's the breathtaking sunrise from the mountaintop and the clear, cold stream in the valley where you may just need to get a drink. There are also the challenges of biting black flies in Maine and rain anywhere along the trail that could make everything you own soggy for days. The blisters, the sprained ankles, the sore knees. There's not being able to go one step further, and then somehow you do. Life on the Appalachian Trail is about learning your limits and pushing those limits a little bit further. But it is also about the deep happiness of finally reaching the end of the trail. And so it is with the kingdom of God. Our Lenten study through these last few weeks and on until Easter has taken us from the Jordan River and the Judean wilderness through the town of Capernaum and now to the mountains. The mountains of Palestine are nothing like the Appalachian Mountains, but they presented to Jesus an opportunity. Among other things, Jesus used mountains as a stage for his teaching. Like Moses, he went up on the mountain to receive God's message and share it with the people. But it was a new message, fulfilling the old. Jesus taught his followers and all those who would listen about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Both of those phrases are interchangeable. Let's watch and listen to the Reverend Adam Hamilton as he goes to the mountains of the Holy Land. The view from that mountain, looking around Galilee and the Sea of Galilee, is stunning, isn't it? But Jesus had one main thing on his mind when he was there and everywhere he went to teach. It was the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. What is this kingdom, and why was it so important to Jesus? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is a realm where God is the ruler, where God is everything, to everyone. We are citizens of this kingdom. When we are baptized and we recognize God is at the center of our lives, God's kingdom can be here, it can be there, it can be over here, it can be everywhere. There are people who honor God and who respect God as our king. We are citizens of this kingdom when we recognize that God is in our hearts and that God is the center of our lives. In some ways, the kingdom of God is our final destination, a goal that we are seeking. We want to go to heaven when we die, don't we say that so often? But it is more than that. It is the way along which we travel, the experience of faith lived out every day on this earth, living like Jesus taught us, one step at a time. It is life lived now in all of its fullness. There's a classic story of a pastor who was having a conversation with two boys in his congregation. After greeting them, he said, "Boys, would you like to go to heaven?" "Yes, sir," one of them responded immediately. The other one took a little time and said, "No." Well, the pastor was a little surprised by what the young boy had said, and he said, "Michael, do you mean that you don't ever want to go to heaven?" He said, "Well, I'd like to go eventually, but I thought you were getting up a load to go today." The kingdom is our destination, but it is also the way. It is within us, Jesus said. It is among us. It is here now, but not completely. It starts small and it grows bigger like a mustard seed. It is the ripening of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. It is the joy of human care and the gift of a package of Twinkies along the trail. It is knowing forgiveness in the face of our failures. It is loving God and our neighbor with all that we have and all that we are. This side of heaven, until one day we walk right in. We read about kingdom living in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 in what we now call the Sermon on the Mount. And the stage is set like this. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him and he taught them. And this is what he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then there were eight more statements, beatitudes, we call them, beatitude meaning blessing. These nine statements surprise us a little. We're used to hearing them, so maybe we're not surprised anymore. But if you listen carefully, you notice in each of these Beatitudes, Jesus is turning the tables. We do not expect that poverty, either spiritual or physical, is to be a blessing, or meekness, or hunger, or persecution. We'd like to think that those who have gained the kingdom of God can bypass those things. Yet, it is the way. It holds a creative tension between where we are headed, and how God is blessing us along the way. The tension between where we are headed, and how God is blessing us along the way. From time to time, we would get phone calls or emails from Anna when she got to a town near the trail. I always said it was a good thing that I didn't hear about some of those things that happened to her until after they had already been resolved. But one of them was the crossing of a raging stream. She told us, after the fact, of her fear of losing her balance, of the water rushing around her. But then Garrett, her new hiking partner, reached out his hand and brought her to the other side. Though we didn't know much about Garrett at the time, we were grateful for him in our prayers. Little more than a year later, he became Anna's husband and has been a blessing to all of us. Where does that creative tension emerge in your life between where you are now on your journey and where you are headed? And how is God blessing your life today? At the men's group at Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Stafford, members were complaining about the forced furloughs that were coming during the recession. Warren Schaefer, himself a government employee at Fort Meade and expecting a furlough himself, left the meeting that day pondering ways that he could respond to the negativity and the reality that they were all facing. After chatting with his wife, Edna, he envisioned a day of devotion and service where church members could use their days off to help other people. He said, "I didn't want to sit on my fanny and worry. So, furlough Fridays were born." The day started with breakfast at 8, with a devotion to follow and community service projects beginning at 9 o'clock. At first, only a handful of people showed up, but it grew and came to include others in the community who were not even part of the church. They painted church walls, they helped a neighbor with yard work, they power washed a house, and worked with Habitat for Humanity. Church member Bo Tai said, "We are very blessed, even with the furlough, so we can give back." You never know what blessings will come when you are a citizen of God's kingdom. Here's how those blesseds are paraphrased by Eugene Peterson in The Message. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and God's rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you'll find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get inside your world, your mind and heart, when you get put right, then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of to compete and fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Vano Kaboko was arrested on December 29, 2014, just about 2.5 months ago. He was arrested in the Democratic Republic of Congo for speaking out on human rights. His brother, who is a pastor in the U.S., recently gave an interview about Vano's situation and his health concerns. But, he reported, Vano has not complained. He has been a blessing to the people around him. In a prison system that is very different from ours in the U.S., he has been allowed to use his money as a United Methodist Christian and also as a former elected official. He's been allowed to use his money to bring a better life to people in the prison with him. He's helped to remodel the prison bathrooms. In a country that loves soccer, he's provided for a large screen TV that's been placed in the prison so that the prisoners can watch football. He provided an agape meal for almost 250 prisoners, very special meal with silverware and plates to boot. Even more important, Vano has been providing spiritual nurture, leading Bible studies and prayer meetings. The pastor in Iowa reported, "My brother has turned something very dark into something beautiful. Instead of feeling sorry for himself, he's been making a big difference, giving hope to prisoners." This morning, I invite you to listen to the teacher. Part of that might mean throughout this week as you go home and get busy with your life that you take time to pause and to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, to sit at his feet on the mountainside, to seek his kingdom first and follow in his ways. It will be difficult. There will be things that you do not know and things that you cannot do by yourself. You will be shaped, you will be pushed, but blessings will come. And someday, thanks be to God, you will reach your final destination. And everything will be just as it should be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.